Hi, this is Richard Edelman, and you're listening to The Trust Makers.
Everybody. To close out our mini-series, I'm joined today by Phil Thomas. Phil is the chairman of Cannes Lions and chief executive of Accenture Intelligence and Events. He was also the CEO of Cannes Lions for 10 years. It goes without saying, but he's an expert on the event and the creative industry. He is also a tremendous leader and thinker. We're so grateful to have him on the show. Phil, welcome to the Trustmakers.
Thank you very much, Jackie.
So, let's get started. We're here in Cannes for the first in-person Cannes Lion Festival in 2 years. And as we're recording at the tail end of the festival, tell our listeners a bit about some highlights from this past week. How's it felt being back here?
Well, I think the biggest highlight has to be just the fact that we are back here. So just to give the context, in 2020, the pandemic hit around about March time. So effectively, that may as well have been the week before Cannes in terms of our planning. So we lost our heads completely. It's like, what are we going to do? And we also lost 97% of our revenues that year. So that no event, no awards, no nothing. So by the time 21 came around, we were able to at least think about how can we create something digital that we might be able to sell to people? How can we actually run the awards with the juries being virtual? So how can we build something that doesn't have actually Cannes in the title, so to speak? So we did run the awards, as people might know, and we ran a digital content sessions and things like that. So it was like an experiment in digital. Fast forward to 22, of course, now we're all back in person. And what I find surprising, really surprising, is the majority, I'd say the vast, vast majority of organizations have just switched the tap back on. So there's been no question of, let's see how we go in 22. It's like, we're back. So it's almost exactly the same size as it was in 2019. So it's almost like the pandemic didn't happen, except obviously we've been through a hell of a lot.
And that's how it feels. Everyone that I've talked to has been sort of amazed by the fact that it almost feels like there was this blip for the whole world. But if you came down in a spaceship to Cannes, there'd be no indication of that at all. And do you think there's a kind of enthusiasm and commitment to this extent because people are just so relieved that they're back to real life?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. And the surprise to me was this sort of confidence that it would happen in June. Because if we go back now to, say, just before Christmas, the Omicron variant just hit New York. I happened to be in New York when it was, like, literally hitting. I don't take any responsibility for bringing it to the United States. But people were planning CES at that time, and then CES just evaporated because suddenly it was gone. And I honestly thought, who is going to be planning for Cannes now? There's too much up in the air. There's way too much insecurity around. But immediately after Christmas, I got some messages that Amazon want to go to visit the city, Facebook want to go and visit the city, and I suddenly started to realize people are willing this to happen. You know, that nothing is going to stop them. So after about January, I thought this is a real thing, and it's just grown from there.
I think it's about the celebration as well. I think that we've had so much good work in this period, but there's been no oxygen to the work to celebrate it. So do you think that that's also part of why there was that commitment? Because it was a need to unfold and revisit that amazing creativity within those pandemic years and actually celebrate and award them in a real way.
I definitely think that. And I think it's multi-layered as well, because the juries were desperate to come in person together. You know, they were great over the pandemic to do the digital judging, because we haven't just got Cannes Lions, we've got lots of other awards that we've run digitally, and they did it gamely and they tried their best, but it's just not the same. So they were pushing for it to be in real life. There's a celebration bit that you talk about, but also I think we've just learnt the limitations of digital really learnt it now, and the relationships you can build by being face to face are incredible. It's funny, the other day I was watching the the Platinum Jubilee. For those of you not British, that's our glorious Queen, had a Jubilee celebration. And there was this concert happening, and I happened to be watching it on TV. And all these big bands were playing, and somebody big like Ed Sheeran came on the stage. And there was a sea of phones, iPhones, right? Everyone's got their iPhone up, taking a picture or taking a video of Ed Sheeran. And I suddenly realised I'm sitting, supposedly having the same experience, listening to the same person singing the same song. Nothing would induce me to get my iPhone out and take a photo. And I realised you would never mediate something that's already been mediated. So those barriers are real. They're genuinely real. So, and I think that goes for human relationships as well. You just cannot build them digitally. And I think that's something we've learned very strongly.
It's so interesting because I went to the Dua Lipa Spotify concert.
Oh, lucky you.
Oldest person in the concert. But I had exactly the same thought, that there was this thing of joint experiences, which of course is part of what we do in the marketing business. You cannot replace those joint experiences. You cannot replace those shared experiences, and the bonding that happens when you're all together and it's a moment for everybody. And Cannes this week seems to have been full of moments. So are there any that sort of have really stood out for you that have happened during the week, or is it the awards that have been the most kind of in a way the most celebratory part of it, or is it the event schedule, which has been very sort of well curated this year? You've been sort of leaner and much more focused, haven't you, on what you've put on in the Palais?
I think it's a broad answer, but I think the role that Cannes Lions can play now is really significant because for two main reasons. The first is that the brands that are here are the world's biggest spenders on communication, right? Dwarfing any other kind of industry in terms of communicating with people. So you just take somebody like P&G. P&G communicate with 1 billion people every single day. And everybody is here, right? So the first point is the power of the communication is unrivaled. The second point, which just adds this amazing kind of icing on the cake, is that also here are the people who can come up with the ideas to break through. So when we see across the week, people like Garry Kasparov, we had an amazing Ukrainian session where President Zelensky did an appeal. Malala is here, of course. Politicians and philosophers and activists coming to ask for the help of the brands and the creative people, because that blend of creativity and power of brand is actually unrivaled. And as political will and political skill, frankly, seems to be diminishing, then brands are stepping into that space, and they genuinely are stepping into that space. And then you see it in the work as well. So you see brands making points about all sorts of different things, building technologies, building solutions, and the good that it can do is almost without bounds.
Phil, it's as almost as if you swallowed the Edelman Trust data, because in our Edelman Trust data, which we released this week, we reinforce that the numbers are off the scale in people's expectations of brands to step into the place that governments are not fulfilling, and that they want society to be better, and that they have issues in their life, whether it's racism or the after effects economically of the pandemic or gender inequality or climate change, that there's such a need for change and there's such a need for making the world a better place. An absolute acknowledgement that the governments cannot do that fast enough, and an absolute expectations for the brands to step into the breach and use the brand superpower. You know, this is some of the dialogue that came out of the research, that brands have superpower. They have superpower of spend, creativity, resource, outreach, engagement. And it's interesting because Cannes trailblazed for this over the years. It was a bit of purpose, and it feels like it's moved from purpose to impact to action. How have you seen it this year? Do you feel like it's sharper? Is it more prevalent?
Yeah, it is more prevalent, right? So if we go back, I think you might be referring to the days when people like Al Gore came, Bill Clinton came, to appeal to the creative people to try to move the needle. And I think the audience was very receptive to that, but that was the creative audience, right? So if you ask a creative person in our industry, will you help? The answer is literally always yes. But that's only one part of the jigsaw puzzle. You also need the brands to tell those stories. And if you look at the winners, you know, there is a certain amount of criticism sometimes about, is it another purpose piece that's just won at a Cannes Lion? But you talk to the brands, and it actually does move the needle for them. I mean, if I go to AB InBev, for instance, who are the creative marketer of the year this year, they won with a piece last year, and it was for their organic beer. And the challenge that they had was, in America, there's not enough organic barley being grown. So we, as a beer producer, we are going to incentivize the farmers to do that. So we're going to give them loans, we're going to reduce the cost of doing that, so we're going to increase the amount of barley, so it helps us. And that brand for them has gone and almost become their best-selling brand in that period. So it's done all those different things, something for the environment, something for their brand, something for their bottom line. And this is the consistent theme. So it has moved. You're absolutely right. It's gone from Bill Clinton coming begging creative people to do something good to actually enormous global organizations being part of this and helping to create things that are really changing attitudes, changing the way the world works.
And that's a wholesale change for the business. I mean, that's beyond the marketing and comms department. That's production, that's supply, that's literally everything with the employees. And again, the trust data shows that that's how to do it. So that's a perfect example of stepping up and really, in a way, reaching the optimal point, because the consumers are showing with their wallets that they are belief-driven buyers. They're showing that they want companies to do that. We also found this week with Gen Z that data, which we entitled that report, The Cascade of Influence, we were really surprised by the absolute impact Gen Z is having across every part of generational stretch and also every part of business. So Gen Z is asking about not just the brand, but they're asking about the company behind the brand, the people behind the brand, their employee practices, how they show up in terms of their sustainability. And then they're also affecting generations, but not just their own generation, their family. We found out that older generations are very affected by everything that Gen Z is saying, possibly because they are the most visible on social media. So the messages that you get, the content is rich as a source from Gen Z. Do you feel that that generation is affecting the Lions? Do you feel that you, either in the work or in the creatives coming through, what's your view about the sort of that most impactful generation?
Yeah, I've seen it happen, and you can almost taste it. If I think about what it was like here 10, 12, 15 years ago, it is absolutely chalk and cheese to then. And that has been driven by these attitudinal and generational changes, absolutely, for sure. And as we move forward, I think that will become more and more and more prevalent across all the things that the brands are doing. And I think Cannes Lions is maybe the tip of the spear when it comes to this, right? So I'm not pretending for a minute that this is absolutely endemic in every single brand in the world and everybody's on the same journey at all. I know we're at the tip of the spear of it, but it is the way that things are going. And it's critically, the most important thing is it having an impact on the bottom line. So people understand, brands are understanding, this is actually driving our business forward. And, you know, if I pick a couple of winners from this week, for instance, I mean, Google won with a big Grand Prix the other night, which was just acknowledging that their Pixel camera on their phone does not pick up black skin tones in the same way as basically all mobile phones are optimized for white skin, which is amazing when you think about it, but it's actually true. So Google, this is Google. It's not some tiny little, it's Google. And they then developed the correct kind of technology to be able to genuinely reflect black skin, so it looked correct. And it wasn't easy for them to do. And you would think, shouldn't Google have done that a long time ago, right? But they've done it now. And if they hadn't done it, well, what does that say about Google? And then the other winner that I think has won quite a bit already is interesting. It's from Vice Media, and it's more about kind of education. So it's an amazing AR experience for the British Museum. So you go into the British Museum, you point your camera at a particular anything in anything in the British Museum, and you get an alternative narrative. So you get the truth about this was pillaged from Egypt by somebody in the 19th century. Should it really be in London? And that different narrative is just so necessary. And technology is allowing these sort of things to happen. So there are lots of winners like that that look just... You could be cynical and say it just looks purpose for the sake of it, but it's not. It's really moving brands forward.
Yeah, and it's behaviour driven. I mean, when you hear that about Google, you think, well, that's ridiculous that that's the situation, and how extraordinary not to have done that before. But fantastic to get that done. And then hopefully other companies here will be inspired. I think that's one of the things that happens at the Lions, is that where else can you see such a wealth of global work from such a wide spread of talent? And maybe that provokes you, either as a creative or as a brand owner, to go, gosh, I haven't really gone far enough. And I think the standards are getting higher, it seems to me, in terms of impact, in terms of how you're being judged. And hearing from some of the jury presidents, we had Judy John talking to us today, the results are being very hard. You know, there's a harsh questioning, quite correctly, in the jury room of what those results are. So have you got guidance for people in terms of what you've seen with the awards as they've come through during this week for next year? Do you think the bar is higher now in terms of delivering on results?
I'm not sure it's results necessarily. I think that is part of it. But it's more, about, for me anyway, what I'm hearing from the juries is, historically at the Lions, there have always been wonderful little ideas, right? So very inspirational and exciting little ideas. Those used to win at the festival, but they don't anymore. And the reason is that what the juries really want to look at is scalability, either existing scale. So is this for a brand that's genuinely using it? Is it something that is out in the world? And is it something that is either scaled already or potentially can be scaled? Because otherwise we end up like a kind of art show, right? And I often say to the juries, like, we are not an art show. So a lot of people create a lot of beautiful things. That's called art. We are about applied creativity, by which I mean the creativity at Cannes Lions has to achieve something. It doesn't exist for itself, and it definitely doesn't exist just to give somebody an award. And that has really changed. So if you actually look at the winners now, it is Google and it is household names. This is a change in the last 5-10 years. It's household names. And the reason is that the juries know they have a responsibility to say to the industry at large, these are important ideas that are out in the world and are going to make a big difference. They're not just beautiful things on their own. And I'm so happy about that, because I think there was a possibility that we could have gone down that other road and become what is effectively an art show. And thank God we didn't. And it was the brands that helped us not do that, because they started to really engage and do the right work.
So what's it felt like this year, seeing this work and seeing everybody there and, you know, on the stage, taking their award, seeing the showreels of that amazing work? Has that kind of been emotional for you? You're so passionate about the work, and after this extraordinarily hard hiatus, sitting here now today, how does this feel?
Oh yeah, it feels amazing. It is emotional to see so many people. It's kind of given me a perspective on it, about the preciousness of it. And without getting too heavy, it's almost like a kind of metaphor for life, in a sense. You know, this is like, if you're lucky enough to come, it's a 5-day opportunity to be with people, to engage with people, and to live. What I say to anyone who asks me, whether it's our new staff or anything like that, it's like, how do you get the best out of Cannes? And the answer that I give is actually true of life, I think, which is that the way to get the best out of Cannes is to live your own Cannes, right? Because it's very, very easy to think, I wish I could have got into the Spotify party. So my Cannes isn't as good as Jackie's Cannes because she got into Spotify. That is very, very easy, but it's also incredibly negative. So the first thing is, you live your own Cannes and you just accept, I'm not going to be able to do everything, I'm not going to be able to see everybody. And then the second thing is just to be open to new ideas, new people, new experiences. And I think those are pretty good lessons for life, actually. And this year, more than ever, I've seen this as a bit of a microcosm for life, because the one thing you don't know in life is, without getting too heavy, you don't know when you're going to do something for the last time, do you? You don't know. I may never come back to Cannes. Who knows? I might get fired. I might get ill. This might be my last Cannes. So you've got to almost be here in the way that you should be in your own life. So I do find it quite an interesting metaphor like that.
I think we're really lucky to have you lead this, because you have so much passion and heart for it. You've done it for so long. So thank you from the industry and for all of us. We've run out of time. To our listeners, thank you for listening to The Trustmakers. And huge thanks to you, Phil. Good luck next year. Let's look forward to next year.
Thanks, Jackie. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into The Trustmakers, an Edelman podcast in partnership with Advertising Week, where we speak with leaders and other trust builders across institutions. See you next time.